Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
Hi there, and welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com executive podcast. Today, we're going to be speaking with El Camino Hospital CIO, Greg Walden, about enterprise data warehousing and his organization's strategic, patient-centric approach to clinical data analytics utilization. Located in the heart of California's Silicon Valley, El Camino Hospital was the first in the U.S. to implement EMRs a remarkable 51 years ago, a telling sign as to the importance the system places on technology investment and their ahead-of-the-curve mindset that sets it apart from others in the industry today. And when it came time to begin harnessing the power of analytics through enterprise data warehousing, El Camino approached this initiative with the patient at the center, or what they refer to as analytics-driven compassionate care. To glean a bit more insight into what this means from an operational, tactical, and strategic standpoint, El Camino CIO Greg Walden is here to shed some light. Greg, thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, good morning, Jenny, and thank you for having me this morning. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Have a few questions for you today. First of all, what was the main reason that you chose to shy away from a homegrown system in terms of EDW development? What were some of the main factors of consideration for this?
As you mentioned, El Camino is always looking forward to maximizing the benefits of technology. And about 5 years ago, we looked into the promise of analytics and were inspired by a book by Davenport on competing with analytics. That basically fostered the idea that we needed to make a strategic investment in improving our quality of care, our operations, and basically pursuing the triple aim using analytics. And so we set out to do that with a product that at the time was very leading edge, and we felt that it would be a good solution for us. We learned a great deal from that experience, but basically the thing that we learned as you often do when you start out on a journey, is we had to change directions a little bit. We bought a product that was, while well-intentioned, for us turned out to be the inappropriate fit. And what I mean by that is we put too much emphasis, I think, on trying to develop a data dictionary ourselves, too much emphasis on maybe some real-time reporting and not enough emphasis on the basics of governance and finding a partner that would deliver more or less a ready-made solution that we could work from. And so what we were looking for is someone with a track record. We wanted to find a solution that we could look at and understand in its totality as opposed to maybe some visioning exercises and hopeful functional delivery. So it was a learning experience for us, but a positive one, because we changed direction about a year ago, less than a year ago, and now we've selected a product that is much more turnkey, has a complete data model completely etched out, if you will, has a team of people that have been there and done that, and some architects that have been there and done that, and we've been elected to remotely host it. So for us, the experience of been there, done that, the data model, the team, and the hosting were a combination of factors that really appealed to us, and we've been very happy with where we are so far.
Great. Now, how has your organization been harnessing the power of big data through clinical data analytics for improved care, quality, and outcomes?
Well, I don't know that we're harnessing big data per se, but we are certainly harnessing data for clinical and improved care. We have an activity here that we call PACT, P-A-C-T, which is basically our version of Lean for hospitals, patient-centered transformation. And that group drives change through performance improvement and analytics. And so when we look at how we are measuring ourselves, we're trying to use metrics like value-based purchasing, like the CMS indicators and so forth, down to the detail level, and the warehouse is great for that kind of capability, because one of the first things we're implementing is something called top of hospital, which allows us to present a dashboard of CMS indicators and other indicators, and then go down all the way down to the patient detail. That, again, is a benefit of where that structured model comes from. And, of course, while we take our journey forward, we're focused on things that are relevant today for every hospital. So things like pressure-acquired ulcers. We have a very robust effort to have no ulcers in our hospital, and we track that with both manual systems and databases, and also with the process of PAC that I mentioned. So every day there's a huddle where we're reviewing every patient in the house as a group of managers and nurses to make sure that every bit of attention that can be applied to individual patients is applied. Ulcers are painful, they're dangerous, and they are unnecessary. And so that's one example of us looking at that phenomenon. But we also have other activities going on. For instance, speed from the admitting decision to admission to the nursing unit as measured in minutes. Very, very important objective for us to get to our goal. And overall, our goals for all our quality indicators are to get in the top 5% of U.S. hospitals. So we're data-driven, but we're going to become even more so. We're marrying that with our process improvement, and we're marrying that whole phenomenon with a lot more management scrutiny every day using data to help our caregivers be successful.
In looking at uptime and redundancy, were these concerns a driver in deciding to choose one system over another?
Well, not as much as you might think, because we backed away from the real-time decision support that we know we're going to evolve towards, and went back more to the basics on having data up to a day old. That hasn't hindered us, and we haven't had issues with downtime. We know down the road we will certainly want to be completely flawless in terms of downtime, but one of the things we learned in our early experience is that this is a long journey. It is a marathon. It should not be a sprint. And I think some organizations, perhaps ours, got caught up in the belief that had to do everything right away. Now we're much more methodical. We have a much better governance process in place. And our governance group has said that it's okay to have scheduled downtime. And while we don't want unscheduled, it's even something we can cope with for the short term. So it wasn't a major driver in the systems because we rely on our EMR for a lot of our real-time decision supporting, as we did years ago. So we have alerts, for instance, when abnormal lab results are sent out and so forth, and that's still in place. But in terms of big data and overall house analytics, we're still migrating now back towards real-time support.
Now, in looking at EHR integration, certainly you guys were ahead of the curve here. How do you now ensure that the data is shared not only across your current network, but also integrated into your system's EHR?
Well, that's a great question, and that is really the question of an enterprise data warehouse. We have, like some organizations, a best-of-breed strategy, and we've been running that for some 50 years. So during that journey, we've accumulated about 250 vendors. There's a lot of data out there for us to bring together and report. And the key here for us is and will continue to be governance. What we learned from our early experience is that we had to make a different kind of approach to bringing this data together. We had to have really engaged senior leadership beyond IT. We had to have a governance body that met every week to deal with issues of data quality and data standardization. We had to have commitments from our entire departments, all our departments, around subject matter experts and their commitment to data quality and data integrity. We had to invest in individuals who are spending their career now bringing out the data dictionary that we purchased from the company that we're working with and really used the Healthcare DataWorks, which is the company whose product we purchased, using their expertise to flush out that data dictionary, because the devil is in the details when it comes to amalgamating data in an EHR. And for us, with our vendor portfolio, that has been really important. The great news is having that predetermined data model designed by a company that's been there and done that and has multiple clients running, and using their definitions to as a base for us to work from, is working great. Now that we've made the investments and we've got the governance straightened up the way we need to, with a product that's very reliable, we're doing super. And so I'm excited for the future and excited for what we will do, which will be more and more compassionate care based on data.
Well, you guys, you know, certainly are ahead of the curve and are truly a system from which others in the industry can learn. So thank you so much for your time today, Greg, and I look forward to following the great work that you guys are doing well into the future.
Thank you, Jenny. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.